Sunak's latest Rwanda plan. She's endorsed a newspaper column by Robert Jenrick, who quit as immigration minister this week as he believes the bill will fail. Israel has carried out more raids throughout Gaza, hours after the UN failed to agree a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire there. The Israeli military also says two of its soldiers have been injured while trying to rescue hostages captured by Hamas. Trade union bosses are meeting today to debate new strike laws. The government's brought them in to guarantee minimum levels of service in sectors like the rail industry and parts of the NHS. TUC boss Paul Novak thinks it's fundamentally wrong.
It's a spiteful piece of legislation. It will potentially take away the right to strike from 1 in 5 workers, 5.5 million people in this country. This government isn't interested in that. It thinks it can legislate concerns about pay, about workloads, out of existence.
A new storm named Elin is moving across the UK. Irish sea coasts could see 70-mile-an-hour winds, while heavy rain is forecast from parts of northern England. In sports, Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp won't put any extra demands on his players, despite knowing they can go top of the Premier League by winning at Crystal Palace this lunchtime.
I don't feel that kind of pressure from other teams. We want to win our game, and Arsenal doesn't need extra pressure. They play Aston Villa, so that's enough job to do. So, yeah, that's nothing. It's just we have a job to do, and that's against Crystal Palace.
Leaders Arsenal don't play until later. Among the 3 o'clock games, Manchester United host Bournemouth, and in the Scottish Premiership, Rangers are facing Dundee. Brendan Rodgers' champions don't play until tomorrow. And a teenager from California who's too young to buy beer there is now qualified to practice law. At 17, it's thought Peter Park is the youngest person ever to pass the bar exam. And that's the latest. I'm Imante Falkenstein.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon, how are you? This is the Weekend Wind-Up on Phoenix 98 FM, I hope you're well. Should we do this?
Bye. just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon, as I said. Welcome to the Weekend Wind-Up here on Phoenix 98 FM. How are you? Hope you're well. What a gorgeous day out there it is today, isn't it? Oh. Do you know what? I don't mind the cold. I just don't like the wet. But never mind enough about me. How are you? How's your week been? Hope it's been glorious like you are. And there's no fighting it. It's heading towards that big Christmas event, isn't it? Christmas time is here. I see more and more people this week going to things like Christmas parties. And given the past few years, it's quite nice to see it back to normal, isn't it? Though not for me, I'm staying indoors in the warm. Too old for all of that. But anyway, hope you're having a great week. It'd be great to hear from you today. Get in touch with me. You can email me, radio@phoenixfm.com. Or on social media, The Weekend Wind Up, of course, on Instagram, Twitter, etc., etc. Get in touch. Let me know what you're up to. If you've got any requests, or any shout-outs for anyone, or if you just want to tell us about your Christmas plans, or if indeed you're not planning anything at Christmas and you just want to moan about it, why not? This is a free space for you. Get in touch. All usual features today. We've got the Phoenix Film and DVD review with Mark Searby. That'll be coming up in the next hour. Danny's picked a corker of a song today. Not very festive, but it's a corker of a song. Cover from another, take five, all your usual gubbins. But do get in touch. I'm looking forward to keeping you company until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And carry on now with a brand new one. This is Dua Lipa.
Yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Lealina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Villa Riquet's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privett. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
I don't wanna wake up dreaming days for two. I wish I'd fallen in love, 'cause I got a plane ticket just for you. I tell you I've been feeling so alone. I've been trying to do it on my own. Everywhere I go with you be home. Everywhere I go I wish I was in Valencia with you. Sun is shining, we got nothing left to prove. You turn my skies into your corner from my blue. You'll be the one to stay, we could get away. Find a bar with you where we can spend the night. Drinking wine and hear the breaking of the tide. I'd spend the evening with you staring at your smile. And you would have my heart right here in Valencia. Thinking of you for a while, I'm seeing lovers everywhere. I'm all wasting all this time, picturing you in every square. I tell you I've been feeling so alone. I've been trying to do it on my own. Everywhere I go with you I'd be home. Turn my skies into your garden for my blue.
How good is that? That's an artist called George Bone. Now, George has been on Michelle's show, Eat My Brunch, which is on every day from 10 to 1 on Phoenix FM, a weekday. And he's been a guest on her show a couple of times now. And I think he did a live set recently in the studio. What a talent. Look out for that boy. Amazing. It says George Bone. It's called Valencia. And I really, really like that. Lots and lots. So I hope you're having a great Saturday and whatever you're up to. I just remind you as well that if you're out and about today and you fancy popping in anywhere, there's lots of Christmas things going on. But tomorrow, Sunday, there's the Ingatestone Christmas Market, which is at the IFCC Hall and Car Park in Ingatestone. And it's organised by the Rotary Club of Ingatestone and the Ingatestone and Fryan Inn Community Association. It's on from 12 till 6 in the afternoon. And there are going to be over 60 stalls there, including crafts, gifts, jewellery, toys, stationery. There's loads of hot and cold foods. There's an indoor play area for children. And there's a live stage with lots of variety of acts who will be singing and stuff. So it's a really great festive afternoon, and it's free entry as well. And if you want to make a donation, that will go to local charities and causes. So for more information, you go to www.essexsites.co.uk and just look up the Ingatestone Christmas Market. But for if you want to pop down there, just make a note. It's at the IFCC Hall and Car Park in Ingatestone High Street tomorrow from midday. So pop along and get down there and start feeling a bit festive.
Step off the train, I'm walking down your street again, and past your door, but you don't live there anymore. It's years since you've been there, and now you disappeared somewhere. I got a space, I found some better place.
Yeah. SFM Travel News.
Okay, first travel update of the day from me today, and the roads are particularly busy as you would expect, so it's a mixture of weekend and Christmas shopping. The weather's not helping at all. So there are a few problem areas. On the B186, as you head towards Ockenden through the lanes over the A127, there's a broken down vehicle causing some delays. The A128, which is always busy anyway, as you head towards Wilson's Corner, that road's exceptionally busy with traffic at the moment. No major problems, just heavy traffic in that area. There are temporary traffic lights in place on the B186 around Brentwood Station, which is causing some problems. The junction by Thorndon Country Park seems to be closed at the moment. There was a minor accident there earlier. It's now been cleared, but they're just moving the debris from there as well. Temporary roadworks in place on the A128 in Ingrave, and on the A12 as you approach the Brook Street roundabout from Gallows Corner, that's congested at the moment as well. Now, as you know, on the London Underground, there are some issues today. There's severe delays on the Central Line and the Bakerloo Line, with a park closure on the Docklands Light Railway and a planned closure for the Waterloo and City Line. And also on public transport, services on Greater Anglia into Liverpool Street and C2C into Fenchurch Street are affected by the industrial action. On average, there are 2 trains an hour running at the moment, so we do advise strongly you check with those travel providers directly on their website before heading out to see exactly when the trains are running. We'll be able to update you on the travel within the next hour. Fancy a bit of James? We haven't heard this for a while. We're loving this.
Super highways,
98 FM.
Yeah, I've just had a message in from Hannah saying, am I going to play any Christmas tracks today? Yes, I am. Yes, yes, yes. I did play a couple last week as well, but they'll be coming out in the next couple of hours. Don't worry. I've, as usual, they're not the obvious Christmas ones, but I picked a couple of great ones today, so I hope you're going to enjoy them. So stay tuned for those. Coming up very, very soon, I will have today's Phoenix film and DVD review. But before then, I'm going to bring in Danny's choice for today. As I said, it's not a festive choice, but he has picked a anthem today. So Danny, my friend, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. This is the rather wonderful Joy Division.
Broadband cramping your style? Don't buffer in silence. Join BeFibre today and experience reliable, full fibre broadband. enjoy a seamless, free installation and access to our UK-based customer service team. This is what streams are made of. This is broadband as it should be. This is B-Fibre. Upgrade your world today at b-fibre.co.uk.
This little cottage came to market. This stylish flat made a home. This country house had hundreds of steps, whilst this bungalow had none. And this little semi said, "Me, me, me, make me your home."
Whatever your property requirements, Beresford's have it covered. To book your free valuation, pop into one of our 17 branches across Essex and into Greater London, or visit beresfords.co.uk.
Your local hospice needs your support this festive season, and there are so many ways that you can make a difference. Purchase your Secret Santa and stocking filler gifts at any St. Francis Hospice store. Host a jumpers or gym jams day at work, or support the Christmas tree recycling service. The team at St. Francis Hospice will pick up and recycle your real Christmas tree for a donation with a brand new sponsor, the Sharp Group. So support your local hospice this Christmas.
You want movies? These two are in my circle of trust. We got movie reviews on Phoenix FM. That's right.
So it's that time again. Let's welcome Mr. Mark Searby to the studio. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Spencer. I'm well. You?
Yes, not bad, thanks. Not bad. I'm looking forward to chatting today. So what have we got on the list?
Well, no Christmas movies for you this week. I know, obviously, you weren't a massive fan
I'll
of it.
Cope.
You'll cope. That's fine. I mean, no official Christmas movies. Obviously, the first movie we're going to talk about in a minute, I think most people are expecting this to run and run through Christmas and into the new year, because it looks like the type of festive movie.
And bizarrely, it feels like a Christmas film. Even though I've not seen it, but just from the clips, it feels like a Christmas film. That sounds bizarre. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think the way that the clips are structured, and certainly the posters, it's very fluffy. It's very, lots of colour in it as well. So certainly it looks like that. And the movie we're talking about is Wonka. Now, this is the story about a young and poor Willy Wonka who has dreams of opening a shop in a city renowned for its chocolate. But the problem is, in that city, it's an industry run by a cartel of greedy chocolatiers. Now, okay. if you remember last week, Spencer, I had said to you, when they announced this about 2 years ago, I was like, who needs this? Who needs a Willy Wonka prequel in their lives? You know, the Gene Wilder movie is fantastic still. The Johnny Depp one I won't talk about. You know, who needs this one? Then, about 3-6 months later, something like that, they turned around and they said, oh, the people who are making it are the team behind the Paddington movies. And my reaction was, well, I totally need this movie now.
Like, it's such a glorious film, Paddington, isn't it?
They're amazing. They're masterpieces. And I'm like, okay, anything that those filmmakers do, I'm going to be here for it. And this film delivers nearly 100% of the delightfulness that the Paddington movies bring. Nearly.
Oh, great.
Nearly.
Great.
So it's a musical come comedy come coming-of-age story that also takes in a bit of a heist element, and there's a lair in it that would not be out of place in a James Bond film as well. But before all of that, we have the early years of Willy Wonka on display, and he's fucking building towards that eccentric nature that we all know and love from the original books and the Gene Wilder performance. Now, Timothée Chalamet, who I think is a great dramatic actor, I've not seen him do comedy. I think he's hugely entertaining as Wonka. He gets the right blend of playfulness without being over the top. There's also, I think, a touch of Mary Poppins in this performance because of how happy-go-lucky he is in the film.
That's quite interesting, because I always regard him as being really serious and earnest, you know. It's kind of like, you know, I'm a method actor, and it's all kind of... So that's quite interesting to hear, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And on top of that as well, Spencer, he's very good at the song and dance numbers. Like, he's just so good at it. The opening number is show-stopping, and then there's one towards the end that sort of goes all full-on musical jazzy hands and kick feet, and It just left me smiling from ear to ear.
So is it a musical then? Or is it just have musical interludes?
It's a film with music songs in it. Musical songs in it. I think that's the best way to describe it. You know, it just... The whole film, it just got this right blend of humour without being over the top and having jokes that only the adults will get. You know how you have these family movies and they've got these little in-jokes and you go, oh, yeah, I got that, but the kids won't. No, none of that. None of that at all. It's a movie that every single joke works every single time and every single member of the family that you go to see it with is going to get the jokes.
And the adults will still find it funny, yeah?
I was laughing all the way through it. I was in a room with film critics, right? You know, the most notorious.
Notorious, yeah.
Exactly, people to laugh. Trust me, there was about three quarters of us having the time of our lives at this movie. The thing is, as well, is that what surprised me most about this movie is you actually have some genuine peril in the movie as well. So, like, early on, Wonka is hoodwinked into signing a contract with an evil landlady and ends up committing to doing many years in her basement, doing labour for her alongside others who have also been hoodwinked by signing these contracts. That's where Willy Wonka meets a young girl called Noodle, and they decide they're going to try and escape while also ensuring that, like, his chocolate dreams are fulfilled. You know, there's a lot going on in this movie, but there's so much to take away from it. It's a spectacle.
Quick question. Mm. Do you think the movie would have landed so well if it was released at a different time of year?
Yeah, probably. As I said, I know we feel, both of us have said it feels like a festive movie, even though there's nothing to do with Christmas at all. But because of the talent on display and because of how great the storytelling is, I think this would have worked at any point. Now, talking about talent, top to bottom, this is, I would say, almost perfectly cast. And it's got that, like, a who's who of comedic British talent in there as well. So you've got Olivia Colman. Now, I know a lot of people associate her with dramatic roles, but you've got to remember her performance in Hot Fuzz is just absolutely stellar. It's amazing. Tom Davis is in this as well, the comedian.
Who I love.
Matt Lucas is in this. Rowan Atkinson is in this. Most of the cast of the amazing BBC TV show Ghosts are in this as well. There's appearances from American comedian Keegan-Michael Key, who I think is really funny anyway. Sally Hawkins pops up in this as well. Actually, maybe there's not enough Sally Hawkins for my liking, but whatever. And then, to top it off, Hugh Grant plays the Oompa Loompas. Yeah, like it's a sight you have to see to believe. That's the weird thing about it.
Because he's another actor that can be known for being quite serious and not jovial. Yeah. And does it work?
It does. It really does. And the good thing is this film is not overwhelmed by going, let's bring in the Oompa Loompas early. He's hardly in it, but when he does appear, it's funny. That's the good thing about it, is that they realise we don't need to flood it with Oompa Loompas because that's Willy Wonka. You know, that's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That's the next stage, yeah.
That's the next stage. But when it works really well. Do you know, my only quibble with this movie is that the finale felt a bit rushed. I could have happily seen this extended by about 10 more minutes, let a couple of the moments have a bit more breathing room, maybe throw a few more jokes in there as well, and let the action have a bit more as well. But that's a minor quibble here. That's a minor quibble. I mean, the movie is 1 hour 52 minutes, so it could
that's
have gone
not
two
too
hours.
Bad.
No, yeah. Exactly. It could have gone to 2 hours. I would not have been bothered. It could have gone to 2.5 hours. I wouldn't have been bothered. Much like the Paddington movies, I just look. As I said a minute ago, I didn't want this movie when they announced it. So now I've got to eat my Willy Wonka hat because the filmmakers have made me eat my words. It's just such an outstanding movie for the entire family. As I said, every joke works, the action's great, the music's great, all of it, from top to bottom. So I'm going to go and get a Willy Wonka-type hat. I'm going to smother it in chocolate. I'm going to eat it while going to see Wonka again, because I've got to see this movie again. I just had such a blast with this.
Do you think there's that they might take the decision to do a reboot of the next one?
Well, that's a good question. The thing is, Netflix own the Roald Dahl catalogue now. But this is not made by Netflix. This is made by Warner Brothers. So you can see how they got away with it, basically, is that it's not actually a Roald Dahl story. It's something tacking onto it. Whether they'll remake Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or something, I don't know. There's always going to be rumours about it. I would like to see them make Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
Yes, the one that's forgotten about all the time, isn't
it? Exactly, yeah, exactly. But, you know, look, as a standalone movie, I thought this was wonderful. Do you have to have seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? If you haven't, you really should see it, because Gene Wilder is sensational in that movie. Yep. And it just complements this movie perfectly. This is wonderful. It's really fun. Perfect for the entire family.
And it's one of the seminal childhood films, isn't it, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the original one? It really is. It really is. So that's amazing. Thank you so much. That is definitely on the list. Right, what's next?
So in cinemas and also on Sky Cinema right now is a movie called May December. And it's 20 years after their notorious tabloid romance gripped a nation, a married couple buckles under pressure when an actress arrives to do research for a film about their past. This is the type of movie that I think actors love to get their acting teeth into. You know, it's a type of film where it's all about the dialogue. And it's about how each character acts or reacts to the other character. You know, it's a character piece that actually deals with method acting in the film story. Because we have Elizabeth, who's an actor, who spends a long time with Gracie. Now, she's the woman who is portraying in the film, and she's the subject of the scandal from 2 decades ago. As Elizabeth spends more time with Gracie, she starts to see herself not just slipping into her shoes, but also trying to slip into her whole life and family. It's a strange and quite unsettling way of doing things, but this is an actor who's going method to truly discover who her subject really is. And I think it's a terrific performance from Natalie Portman as Elizabeth. You know, I don't want to use the word devious, but it is close to that. It's almost snake-like in the way she sort of slithers in and copying Grace's every movement. Unsettling and quite disturbing at times as well. That's the thing with this performance. But then you've got Julianne Moore's performance as Gracie, which is about that equal, as she tries to hold back from showing too much. Yet because she's so open and honest, sometimes things go too far, and it's only after she realizes she's gone too far that she's kind of like, oh, I've said too much. But Elizabeth's taken it on. She's taken that in. She's gone, right, make a note of that, make a mental note. I love the way that Julianne Moore plays this performance as Gracie, because she hesitates each time. You can just see her just recoil back a little bit before she says anything about not just her life, but the scandal as well. You could just see it. So it's kind of like, it's like a game of cat and mouse, like a tug of war between these two lead characters. They push and pull each other at great lengths, and they see how the other one's going to react, and it gets quite ugly at times. I like the fact that this film made me sort of feel a bit uncomfortable about the way they would react to each other. It never really gives you anything but feeling unease around both of them. I mean, it's a drama, after all, but it's a drama about the darker side of humanity and how some people will go there to feed on things that they need. The thing that didn't work on this movie is the extra loud and incredibly incorrect music score. You've got these intricate, like ill at ease moments, and in comes this thunderous, stabbing piano played out at a massive volume. It's just completely wrong for the film. It really took me out of everything.
It's like jarring,
It took me out of everything that the actors were doing. And you have this piano, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's not what's needed here. It's just completely incorrect. I don't know what the filmmakers were thinking with that type of score. I really don't. And it happened a lot in this movie. Happens a lot. At first, when I was watching it, I was thinking, somebody's layered the wrong score on this. Like, is this a temporary score or something? It just feels so alien compared to what you're watching. The thing is, though, if you want to watch a movie that shows two actors really going at each other in this, in like a dark cat and mouse drama, almost a thriller, really, then this is the film for you. As I said, Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore are fantastic in this movie. The problem is you're just going to have to block out this horrendous score. Absolutely.
Well, I think Julianne Moore is a stunning actress. So I mean, so is Natalie Portman, but I think Julianne Moore, very underrated. I've always thought she was great.
Do you know what? I agree with you on that one, actually. Underrated. The thing is, she's always got the plaudits, and she has won awards in the past, but I think she doesn't get the same recognition as somebody like Nicole Kidman.
No, not at all. Not at all. And if you look at kind of her range, I mean, I'm just thinking of... What's the Taron Egerton film where he's the spy? I can't think of it.
The Kingsman.
That's it. Well, the second, she's the villain in the second one, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think about this.
She tries to kill Elton John off, and it just makes me laugh so much. And she was like really menacing and a real perfect film villain. But she had that comedic edge as well, which I thought was brilliant. Absolutely,
she does that.
Brilliant.
She does that very well in The Big Lebowski as well.
Yes, yes.
And then you've got a performance like this here. And it just shows the range that this woman has got. But as we said, maybe she doesn't get the recognition she really deserves. But she's making good movies. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. So you highly recommend, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Apart from the music.
Apart from the music, yeah. Unfortunately, you're just going to have to block that out a little bit, I'm afraid.
That's brilliant. Okay, thanks for this week. Really appreciate it. So, now, I'm going to ask the question, what have we got lined up for next week? Am I sensing there might be a Christmas film next week? Or?
No Christmas film next week at all.
Oh, yes.
No. So, next week, we will talk about Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
Oh, is that a new one?
It is. 23 okay. years since the original. There is now a sequel.
No way. 23 years?
23 years. Sorry to make you feel old, wow. Spencer. But yeah, so there's now a sequel from Aardman. So we will be reviewing that. Then also we will be reviewing a movie called Passages. Now, this is the movie from Ira Sachs, who has made some really interesting movies that have done very well at festivals. This is a story about a gay couple where one of them has an affair with a straight woman and how that impacts the relationship going forward. And then if you subscribe to the podcast, we will review The Great Escaper, the last movie Michael Caine made and the last movie Glenda Jackson made. True story about a World War II veteran who sneaks out of his care home to go to the D-Day landing celebrations in France.
Well, it's a true story.
It is a true story. Yeah, yeah. All happened.
Brilliant. Sounds fantastic. Okay, well, you have a good weekend.
I will
and,
do.
Get that Christmas shopping done. And I will, I will see you next Saturday.
Excellent. Will do.
Take care.
Miss this week's film reviews? Then listen again on phoenixfm.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something like loving and soothing. across Brentwood and Billericay.
This is Phoenix FM News.